ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. Going to read some verses from the Bhagavatam, chapter 20 of canto 3, text 38. Yesterday we did 37. Prahasya bhava gambhiram chikrantyatmanam atmana kantya sasarja bhagavan gandharvapsarasam ganan prahasya bhava gambhiram chikrantyatmanam atmana kantya sasarja bhagavan gandharvapsarasam ganam prahasya bhava gambhiram chikrantyatmanam atmana kantya sasarja bhagavan gandharvapsarasam ganan. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation with a laugh full of deep significance. The worshipful Brahma then evolved by His own loveliness, which seemed to enjoy itself by itself, the hosts of Gandharvas and Apsaras. Purport, the musicians in the upper planetary systems are called Gandharvas, and the dancing girls are called Apsaras. After being attacked by the demons and evolving a form of beautiful woman in the twilight, Brahma next created Gandharvas and Apsaras. Music and dancing employed in sense gratification are to be accepted as demoniac, but the same music and dancing, when employed in glorifying the Supreme Lord as Kirtana, are transcendental and they bring about a life completely fit for spiritual enjoyment. I'm going to read a little further, as suggested by Aniruddha Prabhu. As they all deal with a similar type of subject matter. Text 39. Visarjatanum tamvai jyotsyam kantimatim priyam ta eva chadaduhu pritya vishva vasu purogamaha. After that, Brahma gave up that shining and beloved form of moonlight. Vishvavasu and other Gandharvas gladly took possession of it. Shrishtva bhuta pishachamscha bhagavan atmatandrina digvasau muktakeshan vikshya chamiliyat adrishau. Translation. The glorious Brahma next evolved from his sloth, the ghosts and fiends. But he closed his eyes when he saw them stand naked with their hair scattered. Purport, ghosts and mischievous hobgoblins are also the creation of Brahma. They are not false. All of them are meant for putting the conditioned soul into various miseries. They are understood to be the creation of Brahma under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Jagrustat vishratam tam Trimpanakhyam tanum prabhu nitram indriya vikledo jaya bhuteshu trishyate yeno chishtam darshayanti tam unmadan prachakshate. The ghosts and hobgoblins took possession of the body thrown off in the form of yawning by Brahma, the creator of the living entities. This is also known as the sleep which causes drooling. The hobgoblins and ghosts attack men who are impure, and their attack is spoken of as insanity. Purport: the disease of insanity or being haunted by ghosts take place in an unclean state of existence. Here it is clearly stated that when a man is fast asleep and saliva flows from his mouth and he remains unclean, ghosts then take advantage of his unclean state and haunt his body. In other words, those who drool while sleeping are considered unclean and are subject to be haunted by ghosts or to go insane. Urjasvantam manyamana atmanam bhagavan ajah sathyan ganan pitriganan parokshena srijat prabhu. Recognizing himself to be full of desire and energy, the worshipful Brahma, the creator of the living entities, evolved from his own invisible form, from his navel, the hosts of satyas and pitas. The satyas and pitas are invisible forms of departed souls, and they are also created by Brahma. The atma sargam tam kayam pitarah pratipedire sadhyebhyascha pitribhyascha kavayo yad vitanvate. The pitas themselves took possession of the invisible body, the source of their existence. It is through the medium of the invisible body that those well-versed in the rituals offer oblations to the satyas and pitas in the form of their departed ancestors on the occasion of Shraddha. Purport: Shraddha is a ritualistic performance observed by the followers of the Vedas. There is a yearly occasion of 15 days when ritualistic religionists follow the principle of offering oblations to departed souls. Thus those fathers and ancestors who, by freaks of nature, might not have a gross body for material enjoyment can again gain such bodies due to the offering of Shraddha oblations by their descendants. The performance of Shraddha or offering oblations with prasada is still current in India, especially at Gaya, where oblations are offered at the lotus feet of Vishnu in a celebrated temple. Because the Lord is thus pleased with the devotional service of the descendants, by his grace he liberates the condemned souls of forefathers who do not have gross bodies, and he favors them to again receive a gross body for the development of spiritual advancement. Unfortunately, by the influence of Maya, the conditioned soul employs the body he gets for sense gratification, forgetting that such an occupation may lead him to return to an invisible body. The devotee of the Lord, or one who is in Krishna consciousness, however, does not need to perform such ritualistic ceremonies as Shraddha, because he is always pleasing the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his fathers and ancestors who might have been in difficulty are automatically relieved. The vivid example is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj requested Lord Narasimhadeva to deliver a sinful father who had so many times offended the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord replied that in a family where a Vaishnava like Prahlad is born, not only his father, but his father's father and their fathers up to the 14th father back are all automatically delivered. Hari Bol. The conclusion, therefore, is that Krishna consciousness is a sum total of all good work for the family, for society, and for all living entities. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author says that a person fully conversant with Krishna consciousness does not perform any rituals, because he knows that simply by serving Krishna in full Krishna consciousness, all rituals are automatically performed. ಜ್ಞಾನಶಲಾಕಯಾ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಭ್ರಷ್ಟಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯದೇಶಕಾರಿಣೇ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ from the creative activity of Brahma. This is a chapter called Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura. We discussed yesterday to some extent about creative activity performed by Brahma. And we also saw that in stages Brahma was making changes in himself due to fear of contamination. And he was throwing away different bodies or mentalities and refreshing and rejuvenating himself to do his service of creation again and again. And here we see he created many other lower and higher beings, apsaras, gandharvas, satyas, pitas, and many other living entities, giving everybody of a particular consciousness a place in this universe to enjoy matter in forgetfulness of Krishna. Again with the choice of at any time reviving their Krishna consciousness, which they mostly prefer not to do, unless and until a pure devotee of the Lord would come and inspire them with pure devotion to Krishna. So Krishna also is playing his role according to the need, according to the desires of the conditioned souls, but at the same time requesting them repeatedly in good counsel to accept his instructions to again become reinstated in loving relationship with him. So that seems like a difficult thing for the conditioned souls to do. So therefore, they have many different types of rules and regulations that they need to follow. Although the conditioned soul is given freedom, okay, you want to be free from my control, you want to, do things like I do, and a whole world is created to accommodate that. And that is what is this material world. It's really to accommodate an illegal desire and exercise it in illusion, because in reality it cannot be exercised. Exercise it in illusion and therefore have an illusory happy experience, which also doesn't last. So this whole great project, the God project of the conditioned soul, trying to become the enjoyer, has been handed over to Brahma, the secondary creator, and he makes up all the details. As we discussed yesterday, how Brahma is doing a very daunting service, a very difficult service, and often he himself gets contaminated, messing around with the material energy of the Lord, and he rejuvenates himself. So here we are seeing apsaras, gandharvas being produced, and each one of them according to their desires are seeking certain things and taking those things and enjoying material life. So the enjoying tendency in the material world is so inherent in everybody, so deeply embedded, and in order to bring out that, extricate that enjoying tendency and convert it into a serving tendency, that is the meaning of yoga. Yoga means from master to servant. Very difficult job for the conditioned souls. Getting to be from master, so-called master, to be a genuine servant. So that's what is described here. So all these varieties of desires and accommodating all of them and in their positions, satisfying them, plus at the same time counseling them. What a massive task. What a massive task. That's why anybody who can help Krishna in doing this becomes very dear to Krishna. Very dear to Krishna. So Krishna is very, very keen to get souls back to him in their original position of service and loving relationship. This is the sum and substance of it. But Brahma is a man of detail. He's got a lot of detailed work to do. So here we see mention about Shraddha ceremony, and Prabhupada has given quite a big purport, so speak a few words on that. Shraddha ceremony, Prabhupada speaks about it as one of the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies that have to be performed by everybody, grihasthas especially. They perform Shraddha ceremony for their ancestors. It's one of the duties that any living entity in this world has to perform. Because you become indebted to your forefathers. You become indebted to sages. You become indebted to the king. You become indebted to other citizens, to the demigods. All these things are obligations that you have to perform in order to live here in this world. Because of all of them doing a lot of work for your facility, for facilitating you, you are able to enjoy matter. You are able to have sense gratification. So that you have to give them their fee. So Prabhupada explained that even to demigods we should yajna and all that we have to perform so that they can supply us what we need. So our forefathers, we are born in their line. So we owe something to them in the parampara of the forefathers. So normally in Vedic custom, everybody has a gotra coming from so-and-so rishi down so-and-so line like that. And you are indebted to everybody on that line. So therefore, every grihastha especially has to perform Shraddha ceremony. His father passes away, his mother passes away, then he has to perform a ceremony. You can see that in the houses they would do that. They would actually call upon the father and mother to be present in one of the priests. He will represent the father and mother. And the previous ancestors are all be represented by other few priests. And they will do a puja, avahana, means they will call upon these priests within themselves. And then the concerned person performs the homa, yajna, and makes the offerings. And one of them is Vishnu. One of them becomes Vishnu. And he is, after the rituals are over, he is fed the offerings, the whole, whatever eatables are made. And after he has eaten, that Vishnu Prasada is taken and given to the rest of them. And by getting Vishnu Prasada, they become liberated from their bodiless condition, gross bodiless condition. And because they get freed by eating Vishnu Prasada, they get liberated. So this is a real technical thing. You are giving Vishnu Prasad to all your ancestors. And getting Vishnu Prasad and giving Vishnu Prasad is not something uncommon those days. So your ancestors, some of them, may not be in a good position. Some of them may not have gross bodies. Some of them have ghostly bodies. Some of them had premature death or wrong type of death. Many things, and they were hanging around. And the only way that they would get solace is by their descendants performing their duties properly towards the forefathers. And when you don't do that, they will curse you. It's called Pitrishapa. They will curse you. What a lousy ancestor you are. Because of you, we are suffering. Right? So when they curse you, every enjoyment that you want to have will get affected. There will be obstacles, there will be roadblocks. I mean, you go to an astrologer, he will tell you, you got Pitrishapa. You go to Gaia and offer. You do this ritual, you do that ritual. Like that. And then they get relieved from it. So you can't just live around in this world without doing what you're supposed to do. You have to pay the taxes wherever it's there. Even the Pitrus, you have to pay the taxes, demigods' taxes. It's not a grandfather's property. They can hang around. The sun is shining, the rain is coming, and everything is fine. It's not free. Just like you pay for the power, you pay for the water, you have to pay there too. But the payment is different. You respect them, acknowledge them. That's about all. So, Pitrishapa they give you. And then everything goes crazy in all the families that come from those ancestors. And they know. And they all get together and offer. You see? So these are all things that are very common. And this is a rule. It's a mandate. You have to do it. Even Agastya. There's a story in the Mahabharata about Agastya Muni. Such a powerful sage. You know, Agastya Muni, he drank the whole ocean. Achman, he did. He just said Achman. It all became dried. And he stopped the Vindhya mountains from growing. And you know that story about him, Vatapi Jirnavastu. He ate up the two demons. One of them he ate up. You know, they had this strange sport of the brother cooking the other brother and feeding, you know, human meat almost. And after they eat, they have such a mantra that you chant the mantra, you come bursting out of the stomach. You come alive again, and that person will be finished, you know, smashed. And they both will laugh. So they were demons of, and I mean, you know, some sense of humor they had. They were just enjoying like this. And it so happened that all the sages went and said, these two guys are too bad, they're doing this. So he said, where are they? And he went as guest. And he ate up Vatapi, cooked and given to him. And then this other guy said, Vatapi, come out. And Agastya said, Vatapi Jirnamastu. He's digested. To shock, for the first time, Agastya ate him up. He said, nobody has ever done it. Such a powerful sage. But he, one fine day when he was walking through the forest, he saw a real amazing scene. Very ugly and excruciating pain was being suffered by people who were hung by their testicles on the huge trees. And they were like this and screaming and yelling and cursing Agastya Muni. So what have I got to do with it? Who are you? I don't even know. I'm just wandering in the forest. I'm just... He said, we are your ancestors. We are in this situation because you didn't get married at all. And you don't have any progeny. And because of that, you cannot perform Shraddha. And therefore, we don't get what we are supposed to get. Therefore, we are all suffering. So Agastya became very moved because of me. And then he said, I will immediately get married. But who is there a girl fit for me? I am the person, I mean, he drank away the ocean. I mean, who's going to be an equal match that you get a girl like that? So he said, I'll have to make my own girl. Then he took permission from Brahma. He said, if you have anybody equivalent to me, Brahma said, in my 84 lakhs of species that I have created and the varieties I have within the human beings, I don't think there's somebody matching you. Then he said, what should we do? He said, I give you the powers to do it. You can create your own. You know, I'm sure that many people who want to get married will love this power. Some brahmacharis can do extra tapasya and ask Brahma. Forget it. Either I get married to Apsara, you know, Apsara is like Ramba, Kilottama, Menaka. Forget it, I'm remaining a brahmachari. So he was given those powers. And Agastya, he took from the sun, from the fire, from the wind, all amazing qualities, and designed his own wife. Can you imagine this? Lopamudra. She was called Lopamudra. Exquisitely beautiful, highly talented, highly chaste, the best among the women and everything. He made for himself. Because he won't like, you know, associate with anybody who is too high class, sage. Agastya, you know, a dwarf of sage. So he, out of her, he produced sons, and they performed all that is necessary, and those great personalities got liberated and blessed Agastya. So this is a story from the Mahabharata, from the life of Agastya Muni, that even Agastya, you know, was put to this test. Therefore, according to the Vedic custom, we all have, we owe something. And we must do it. This is why grahastha life becomes very, very burdensome. What to speak of doing all these things nowadays? Forget it. They won't even bother. That's okay. I don't mind getting suspended like that somewhere. Right now, well, no time to look into it. I got my job, I got my family, and I can barely do few things to satisfy them. Of course, Prabhupada is saying that devotees don't have to perform these type of ritualistic activities. Why? Why? Because they are every day taking prasadam. And they are every day performing devotional service to the Lord. The Lord is very pleased with them. And Prabhupada is speaking about how the devotees, whole race of people will get liberated. 14 generations up, 14 generations down. And Prabhupada said this, if you become a devotee, this is the good you'll be doing for your entire family. What to speak of your family alone? 15 generations, 14 before and 14 after, 28 plus 1, 29. What an amazing offer. Right? The best you could do for your whole family. So in this way, these duties are performed, and if they are not performed, at the same time, sometimes devotees who are grahasthas, they ask these questions, at least in South India, it's very common, because it goes on in everybody's house here there. They ask these questions, can I be confident that I'm a devotee, I don't have to worry, 14 generations before after I'm going to get liberated. Will I think like that? Or will I say, I don't think I'm much of a devotee. I better do some amount of shraddha. Let me at least go to Gaya and offer pinda. And sometimes they cite Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya, offer pinda for his father. That's when he met Ishwara Puri and all that stuff. So why would I not do that? So devotees are told that you don't have to do the full ritualistic thing. You can offer Mahaprasadam of the Lord to your ancestors. That takes care of it. So sometimes devotees, they offer, they sponsor the Mahaprasadam for that day, and they call all the devotees, put the picture of their forefathers there, if at all the father or somebody, if not forefathers, at least a father, and then they offer, and they offer to everybody and do a kirtan bhajan. And the person is satisfied. Today is also, I think, the appearance and disappearance of Govinda Ghosh. If I'm right, today or yesterday. It's an interesting, you know, Govinda Ghosh, one of the Ghosh brothers, associates of Lord Chaitanya. I heard
a story long back. Can't recollect every bit of it. But Govinda Ghosh, one of the brothers, was very devout. A devotee who was worshipping deity. I think his deity was Mukunda. And he would talk to his deity. Very sincere person. And he was very concerned about the fact that he will not be able to do his grihastha duties properly. Why? Because he doesn't have a son. You know, putra pinda prayojanam. Putrarthe kriyet bharya putra pinda prayojanam. I have entered this grihastha life, and if I don't have a son, how will I get liberated? He has to offer pinda so that I will get Vishnu prasadam and I can leave. And if I don't have a son, anteshti kriya, towards the end, the last rites, how will it be done? How will I get Vishnu prasad? What will happen to me? This is how Govinda Ghosh was thinking. He wasn't thinking, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, not a body. I can just go gallivanting, whistling, and hold my chanting bag and never worry about anything. He was not thinking like that. He was thinking, I'm not a devotee. And so he told Mukunda, his deity, I think it's called Mukunda. He said, my Lord, what will happen to me? I don't have any issues. And when I die, who will do all the last rites for me? Who will offer pinda? And what will happen to me? I'll wander around, you know, without any shelter. So the Lord, in keeping with his concern, when Govinda was repeatedly expressing this in his heart, one day the Lord told him, Govinda Ghosh, am I not your son? You're looking after me every day, giving me a bath, feeding me, dressing me. Am I not your son? Don't worry, I will do those rites for you. And then Ghosh became very pleased and happy. Okay, I don't have to worry. And actually when he passed away, it's mentioned that the deity did the last rites. And even today there is a huge festival on the basis of that. The passing away of Govinda Ghosh in the temple. Govinda Ghosh, actually it seems the temple deity is taken to the house of Govinda Ghosh. And his Brahmin thread is put around his fingers and he performs all the last rites. You know, you perform rites for the past, the deceased, I mean, the ancestors in Shraddha ceremony. Everything is opposite for the Pitru. If you got to serve like this from the left to right, everything. Even food, they serve like this. Even water after doing Achaman, put it like this. It's got a whole ritual, this thing. Not that they are doing that, I'm just saying. It's a special thing to do. So the deity comes and does that for Govinda Ghosh. Every year is a big festival. It's a pastime of the Lord. He's become the son of Govinda Ghosh. And he's performing that. And it's mentioned that the deity changes color. From black to white when he's doing this. And it changes color back and goes back in procession. It's a big festival. It's a huge festival somewhere in Navadeep, that side. See, when the Lord, he is reciprocating with his devotee who thinks that I am unfit to think that I am a devotee. To even think that I am a devotee. So these rituals and these type of things, sometimes devotees would like to do it. And when they do it, they sort of Krishnaize it. It's not that they follow all the regular, you know, ritualistic procedures. They chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavat, and offer something. The core principles are followed. Because if you do Harinam Sankirtan, everything is taken care of, actually. In the pastime of Vamana Dev, you will see that Vamana, Lord Vamana, did this amazing activity of attracting the uniform and twirling his little umbrella, having his kamandalu. And Bali was head over heels in love with this wonderful boy. And of course he asked him what charity you want, and then Vamana said, just give me 3 paces of land. And then Bali said, yes, it's just a small boy, you don't know what you can ask of me, you don't know who I am. Right? And then Vamana replied, no, Brahmana should be satisfied with little what he gets. There's a whole lot of punning and metaphors which Bali didn't understand. But to some extent, Shukracharya understood and said, watch out, the way he's talking, the way he's doing things, this is Vishnu. He's come to take away everything. And then, you know, he didn't listen to his guru, he came, and then Vamana became huge and took away everything from him, and then he was sent down to lower planets, all that. And then Vamana came back to please Shukracharya, because he has taken away Shukracharya's disciple, and he must be really sore like nothing. So it's mentioned that in the Bhagavad, you can see he comes and glorifies Shukracharya. What a wonderful Brahmana you are, you're maintaining the tradition, you're teaching people all these rituals and Vedic stuff, you're great, you're that, you're this. Vamana came and did that to Shukracharya. And he said, don't feel bad about your disciple, give your blessing to him, don't curse him, don't curse Bali. And Shukracharya got a little pleased. Sweetly, Vamana did it. Shukracharya got a little pleased and he revealed his heart. Prabhupada calls him the founder acharya of the smarthas. All the rituals and everything, he was paka. But that founder acharya of the smarthas revealed his mind and told Vamana, mantratas tantratas chidram deshakalarha vastutah sarvam karoti nischidram anusankirtanam tava. That mantra, tantra, everything I am very good at. I will chant. But they always have some holes in it. Chidram, imperfections. According to time, place, situation, circumstance, something goes off. But sarvam karoti nischidram. But everything gets plugged. All the holes get plugged. Everything becomes all right. Anusankirtanam tava. When we chant your holy names, your glories. This is my secret. This is what I've been doing. He reveals that if you simply chant and glorify you, all imperfections and all these rituals get taken care of. Therefore, devotees have this great faith that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, simply by performing devotional service to Krishna, everything is taken care of. Shaddha shabde vishwasa kohe shudrida nischaya Krishna bhakti kohe sarva karma krata hoya. Simply by doing Krishna bhakti, every karma mentioned in the Vedic literature, every other thing is taken care of if you do devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, although sometimes people criticize us, you Hare Krishna devotees, you don't do this, you don't do that. We're subject to a lot of criticism sometimes. You don't know how to build a temple, you don't follow the Vastu, you don't put the Garuda Stambha inside, you don't do this, you don't do that. But the Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. This is our answer to that. Every time they say all these things, we just chant Hare Krishna. And that's what, you know, is the answer that Shukracharya gave. And that is the answer of the whole Bhagavatam that's given. That's why we do kirtan all the time. And this is Kalautu Nama Matrena Pujyate Bhagavan Hari. In Kali Yuga, simply by the chanting of the holy name, the Lord is pleased. And you do everything else but chanting of the holy name, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. That is revealed by Shukracharya. So therefore, the process given by Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, as per the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, is a perfect process. And he is very nicely explaining here. You don't have to do this. You simply render devotional service and chant Hare Krishna. And it will please Krishna much more.
And if Krishna is very pleased by that activity, the demigods automatically become pleased. They don't interfere with you much. Om Tat Sat. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Any comments or questions? Died naturally. Commenting on that because it's like interfering. But generally speaking, a devotee will not commit suicide. Generally speaking. And even if he does, I think the treatment for him is very different from ordinary people. So anything we can think of, we don't know. But a devotee who chants Hare Krishna, takes prasadam, is always protected by Krishna. A suicide in his life is more like an accident. It's an accident on the path of spiritual life. It's not that he's willfully committing suicide after knowing so many things. Right? So, what does suicide actually mean? That the facility given by Krishna is spun, not utilized properly. And that is not proper. The material body, the gross body, is, you know, prematurely reincarnated. Should say. And that is not your business. It's not your business. I don't see anything very bad. I mean, nowadays people are doing all sorts of genetic modifications of so many things. They are doing so many crazy things and fiddling and twiddling around with Krishna's creation. So suicide is something like that. So maybe if Krishna so desires, he may change that mentality of that person, giving him another birth or punishing him in certain ways. But devotional service never goes waste because it's permanent. So a combination of these two things would happen and we never know what Krishna would decide. But for an ordinary materialist, we know that he'll become a ghost and roam around. Even a karmi who follows Vedic rituals, everything properly, even he will be subjected to the same thing. Devotees, normally we don't know. Yes?
What if the good practice devotional service and chant Hare Krishna, but still while we chant or while we do devotional service, we think of something else. Even if we try not to think of something else, we still think of something else.
Yes, it happens quite often.
So
nothing wrong.
So
you keep chanting, and gradually that thing goes. We can't expect that immediately, as soon as we chant, you'll have wonderful thoughts. You have a halo around your head, and your feet don't touch the ground. And you glide. Look at me, I'm chanting Hare. Wow, that's great. Unfortunately, it's not like that. It happens sometime. Sometimes you glide, not as a ghost, but actually as a but as a liberated person beyond the material, you know, entangling coils. But it takes a little time, and in the initial stages is a little gray area too, that everything is not black and white, on and off, like we put off the switch and put on the switch. So it takes a little time, but gradually those type of thoughts are replaced by thoughts about Krishna. Those type of thoughts are replaced by happiness in associating with Krishna, and gradually things change. You have to be a little patient. You're anyway a patient. I mean, getting treated. Yes, somebody else had his hand. Prabhupada said that you should just, you're Achyuta Gotra.
That's what I want.
Yeah, exactly.
So we don't have money for calling the same Gotra that
No, but if you're in a family like that, a Brahmin family and all that, you don't create problems inside your family. No, I am not that Gotra, I am Achyuta Gotra because I'm chanting Hare Krishna. You have a real problem with Gotra then. You won't go too far with that Gotra. According to the situation in the house, adjust it. You know, if you have a gotra and the family members, you live in a joint family, don't go around disturbing them by saying Achyuta Gotra. No need. You know, you're not going to try to liberate the whole family by your chanting of Hare Krishna right now. You're going to teach them to chant. If they don't and they talk with gotra, yeah, fine, I belong to that gotra. That's it. Let them do whatever it is. Just guide them to chant Hare Krishna during the rituals that are going on. Read Bhagavad and, you know, take it the other way. Do the easy stuff. They will not say anything to you. But if you're alone and in your own family and nobody else is involved and all that, then it's Achyuta Gotra. Yeah, be happy with it. One universal Gotra for all Hare Krishna devotees. Yes. Banu Maharaj can answer that better. I think he's coming today. I don't know, but I can just tell you that I don't think you've done something wrong in the past and you're in bad karma or something. You can't fix it by just a homa and yajna. Please be fair. You did something wrong. You can't just do a, you know, bribe somebody and do a little yoga and set the planets right, man. You know, those columns, put this one this side, put the other one. It doesn't work like that. Why don't you redo my chart? Just shift this guy this way. Put Rahu here, Ketu here. Change it. I don't think these guys have got the capacity, especially in Kali Yuga. I'll just cheat you. The best way to change the horoscope, Prabhupada said, is to chant Hare Krishna and become a devotee of Krishna. He actually said that. So it's so powerful a process. You don't have to surrender to anything else. So chant Krishna's name as far as possible offenselessly and pray to Krishna. He is the Lord of all the grahas. And if he takes a liking to you, nobody will do anything to you. No graha will do anything to you. Even though he's sitting in the wrong place, he will not do anything to you. And even though he does anything to you, it will not affect you. You don't get affected by what he does. Like that. The chanting of the holy name actually anesthetizes you. You know anesthesia? You know that you want to pull your tooth, this thing gives you a local anesthetic. And the, you know, your mouth is wide open and the dentist talks to you and says, how is your daughter? What happened? This, and all that. The guy's keeping you busy and he extracts your tooth. And you can feel all, you hear all the sound but no pain. The sound and the pain would have been horrible. Mostly you don't hear the sound when there's pain. But now there's your anesthetized, you hear only the sound. Wow, what a ripping. All the, you know, ligaments and all the whatever is there, everything getting ripped off. You hear all that and you feel no pain because you're anesthetized. And then he plunk, chucks your tooth the other side, puts a wad of cotton and gives you this thing and all that. Everything will be alright. And he gives you a fat bill, you pay it to. And when you go home, tra-la-la-la, everything is fine. I pluck my tooth out. There's absolutely no pain. And then after about a few hours, boom, it comes back, the pain. And then you call him up, but he already paid the bill. You call him up and he'll tell you, as I've given you those painkillers, you take it. It's not that the pain is not there. You don't feel the pain. You don't feel the pain, isn't it? Yeah. It's not that the karma is not there. It won't affect you because of Krishna Bhakti. It won't affect you. And that's what Krishna is saying. That's the meaning of saying Sarvadharman Parityajya Mame Kam Sharanam Vaja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Ma Sucha. He can even remove all those things. But sometimes devotees suffer seemingly, but actually it doesn't affect them. There's a little deeper, subtler understanding. Therefore, horoscope and all those things may be true. It is there externally at one plane, it is true. But that doesn't affect the devotee in performing his devotional service and his bhakti to Krishna. It's exclusively different from this. It's another life, it's spiritual life. And your material life will never be able to affect your spiritual life, actually. Spiritual things that you do are never at the mercy of the detailed material activities that you would do in different bodies. They can never be like that. This is to do with Krishna. How can that be at the mercy of some few material activities that you do? Cannot be. That's how, you know, devotees understand it and perform it. Okay, a little disturbance here and there, but I'm not going to stop doing this. And victoriously it becomes, you know, perfect. Right? Yes, that's the faith of a devotee. Explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Sujinam Srimatam Gehe Yogho Brashtobi Jayade. One who cannot complete the process. Cannot complete the process. He gets chance again. Is born in a very conducive atmosphere to carry out his spiritual activities again. In a Brahmin family, in a rich family. So he's got all facilities to start again. But Prabhupada said, don't risk that also. Better do it in this lifetime. If they have done devotional service. No, no. If you have done devotional service, talking about you and the people whom you protect and instruct. You're talking about your whole family. Ancestors, everybody together. If you don't, you know, unless you actually become perfect, you don't get that done. Sorry about that. No. The benefits are limited to that much. This insurance company doesn't give those.